plans by request of some of you and our initiative. It's not a regular meeting to prepare the assembly, but it's an extra informal meeting just to meet in between the meetings, since the following meeting of the IPU assembly will not take place until May. So that's a long period from here. So we will not be taking decisions today, but I would like to discuss certain issues as and get your reflection on it and your thoughts. And decisions will only be taken by the formal 12-plus group as a whole. Now, since November, the Netherlands have had some meetings to get prepared. We've met with before Christmas with Mr. Pacheco, who's also here today, about the presidency. We took over the 12-plus website, and we worked on it to get it updated, and I hope that you will have a look at it, because a lot of work has been done, but maybe you have some more suggestions, and please tell us if you have. The missing minutes of the last meetings have also been put up on that site, so you can have and find all meetings, minutes on all meetings there now. We've also spoken with several members of the 12-plus, and we are planning to meet some more in the coming weeks. We've also had meetings with ExCom members of the 12-plus group, with David, Cecilia, Mladen, and Laurence, to prepare the ExCom meetings of 18th of January and the 8th of February. Now, this was something what Mr. Duarte Pacheco was used to do, and I'm planning to continue to do so. These meetings are also on the agenda, so you can hear about it later. So these were some remarks on my side. Does anybody want to take the floor or have some opening remarks or anything? Femi, is there anybody who requests to speak? No? Okay. So if you want to speak, use the request to speak button. No, okay. Then we'll go to the adoption of the agenda. I would like to add a point 4B, members of the steering committee. So it's largely extended to up to the chair, but it is something I would like to discuss with you. Any other comments on the agenda? If not, then this is the agenda. See, somebody wants to take the floor? No, okay. Okay, so the last weeks, the ExCom met three times, and I would like to give the floor first to Ms. Widdegren, and after that to Ms. Filman, to brief us on the last issues being discussed in the ExCom. Ms. Widdegren, would you please take the floor?
Hi. Let's see if I can get that down there. Oh, here we are. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. And thank you for the word there, Arda. From the ExCom, as Arda said, it's been Laurence, David, and Bladen as the four of your members of the ExCom committee, but of course also since November we have the presidency, so we can actually count Mr. Duarte into there as one of those 12-plus fellows. We have had three meetings since with the new presidency, and I think it's been up to 12 hours or so in a total. And I will try in a few minutes to say a few words about the items that's been up there. And I also asked my fellows on the ExCom to say a few words, and I know they will. So we will try to divide this up as good as possible to start with. Is it sound good? And so? Yeah, okay, here we go. First of all, I would like to tell all of you within the 12 Plus that all the efforts we did last fall to get a new president from the 12 Plus is a success in many ways. And for us that's been involved now for a few years, and especially after the last 3 years, I would like to say this is a new start for the IPU. And the 12 Plus has, of course, a very large share of that. And a special thank you, of course, to Mr. Duarte that's actually doing it in person. And I know he's been very grateful for the 12 Plusers that are helping him out to actually succeed in this situation. But we can really feel it within the XCOM too, that it's a new chair and a new presidency and a new start. And I think that's the most important thing to say in this special time for a multilateral organization that's in a way struggling after 130 years to find its position for the years to come. And of course, the first thing that we were discussing and asking the presidents of was his vision for the organization. And that's why I start so broad in this short brief. Because this is the most important issue, of course, for all of us to see where the IPU is today and where we want the IPU to head for tomorrow, in both in pandemic times, but of course also past the pandemic times, and what strategies we will use during this. And just to emphasize a few words from Mr. Duarte himself, he started to talk about the team of the members from members of parliaments around the world working together to actually make this organization as relevant and exciting and important for future important global items. And that teamwork we have missed for a time, but now the team is back together. Members of parliament work together with the staffs and especially the secretariat, just to mention one thing. But second of all, of course, is important of taking this organization forward in these specific times, make sure we have a lot of relevant, interesting both events and news to stay as interesting as possible for others and also for members of course of parliaments to get involved. And of course, one more thing to mention from his speech is, of course, the visibility and the transparency of such important in an international organization. And after that broad discussion, we continued to focus on what's important during this year and forward for the organization. The meeting in November will take a new decision on the new strategy for the IPU. So that's for the 5 coming years from 2022 to 2026. So the XCOM has now about nearly half a year, not really, nearly half a year to discuss the 8 strategies and goals that the organization have had for 5 years. Revise them and discuss, okay, do we need to push them a little bit more or do we need to focus on new ones? And we put the whole XCOM as in charge of this. And the XCOM is going to ask mainly regional groups to do some part of the job to make sure that this is from under and up, that ideas and discussion will come during this first half year. So for the 12 plus, this is, of course, one of the important discussion to focus on in the start of this year. From about midsummer and on, it's up to us in the finance committee, which I'm chairing as your representative, to then put the strategy in the budget for the coming year. So then it's the finance committee that takes over and put the strategy and frame it and make sure that we have a relevant budget for the next coming years, so to say. So that is how the process is for the strategy. And after that, we had a good discussion about universal membership. As you know, right now, there are 179 members of parliament, and that has increased the last 6-7 years. We were about 150 around 2013, I think it was. And now we have looked into both, of course, the remaining 14, if we look up on the number that the United Nations has. And we have actually mapped all those 14 countries now. And as you know, one of those countries is the US. And a discussion has been in the XCOM on strategy, how to get US back in the IPU. And there is also it's an strategy now on the agenda, and we have also sent our first letter to Mrs. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, over at the Congress. But we are very focused on the strategy, and emphasizing that a lot of the contacts that member countries have should be used in this strategy. So to help out the IPU to get the US back on board. Another item we have had is the situation in Venezuela. And that is because Venezuela, as you know, had a so-called election in December and kicked out the old parliament that was actually elected in 2015. And they put a parliament on place. For the IPU, it's important to know which parliament represents in the IPU. The old parliament had a struggle, and we can discuss this item for a long time, but I'll try to make it as short as possible. We have had a lot of time on Venezuela on the last three meetings. The last parliament didn't pay. So this is one of the parliaments in our statutes now that's on the way out, the old parliament, so to say, because of not paying the fees. There are, of course, many reasons for that. The new parliament, though, is asking the IPU now to get full status. And the discussion has, in a way, stopped there. And we are divided, as you understand, between the multilateral democratic countries and the countries that are more focused on another governorship, so to say. We have asked now the Secretariat to go through how the elections in December actually how they occurred, and what kind of status the different kind of institutes within Venezuela have. And that more broader paper with facts, how the situation actually is, will then be on the next discussion for the XCOM to decide on later on. The time frame for deciding the status of Venezuela in the IPU is actually the next formal meeting, which will be the assembly coming up in May. So that is the time frame we have. We from the 12 Plus have pushed for to make this subject as broad in facts as possible, because we can see the differences here and we are really divided within the IPU how to handle this situation. But if we get a full manifest of facts, as much as you can have, and try to, as IPU have done in the past, make a decision on the facts and not make it so much political, even though we really want to, but try to have these in two different ways of looking at the issue, we can have a hopefully broader discussion coming up on the assembly in May. There are a lot of things to say there, but I stop there right now. And another subject we had was the new MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, between the IPU and the UNHCR. And that is new, coming up, and more interesting events flowing in. And I know they have been sending out invitation for the first one. And for me also, sitting on the subcommittee on finance, this is good because we get some more payments coming in from the UN here in this case. So it's good for us in that case too. I will stop there and let Laurent say a few words about some of the issues. He is also our representative in the group for the assembly coming up in May. So please, Laurence, thank you.
Voilà, vous m'entendez? Voilà. Bien. Merci, Madame la Présidente, chers et chers collègues. D'abord, je remercie Cécilia pour son résumé, mais quand même très, qui donnait vraiment une très bonne idée, très large, des débats que nous avons eus lors des trois dernières séances du comité exécutif. Mais pour ma part, je voulais juste apporter quelques précisions concernant la tenue de la prochaine assemblée qui sera vraisemblablement en ligne, celle qui devait se tenir normalement à Genève en mai prochain. Donc, nous avons eu une discussion quand même assez approfondie sur savoir si nous pouvions nous permettre de tenir cette assemblée en présentiel. Et puis, finalement, bien sûr, on s'est rapidement on a rapidement décidé que ça serait difficile de pouvoir la tenir en présentiel dans la mesure où, malheureusement, la pandémie sévit de manière quand même extrêmement forte, à peu près sur tous les continents, et puis la présence évidemment de ces différents variants n'améliore pas les choses. Donc, finalement, on a aussi évoqué la possibilité d'avoir une assemblée hybride, c'est-à-dire à la fois en ligne et en présentiel. Alors, c'est quelque chose que nous avons rejeté pour l'assemblée du mois de mai. Néanmoins, je crois qu'il y avait eu, notamment, je crois, Cécilia qui avait cette proposition à laquelle je peux vraiment me rallier, c'est d'analyser la possibilité à l'avenir de pouvoir faire les deux évidemment, la pandémie ne s'améliore pas. Si les conditions de réunion, mais on espère quand même vraiment qu'en mois d'octobre, on puisse se réunir à Kigali. Et donc, le secrétaire général était ici tout à fait d'accord avec l'idée de pouvoir d'étudier la possibilité d'avoir à l'avenir peut-être une assemblée à la fois en ligne et hybride, allant en ligne et présentielle. Voilà, donc peut-être aussi rappeler que nous avons nommé un groupe de travail qui représente une personne qui regroupera une personne en tout cas dans tous les groupes géopolitique, et effectivement j'aurai le plaisir de pouvoir siéger dans ce groupe de travail qui va réfléchir à la procédure de l'organisation de cette assemblée en ligne. Et donc la première séance du groupe de travail aura lieu le 26 février pour donc décider des règles de procédure de cette future assemblée. Donc, je ne vais pas aller trop dans les détails puisqu'évidemment, nous allons discuter de manière approfondie, mais il s'agira effectivement d'une part de se baser sur les travaux qui avaient été effectués précédemment pour organiser le conseil directeur en ligne, et donc de voir quel type de règlement spécial on doit adapter pour pouvoir mener à bien cette assemblée, de réfléchir donc aux différentes règles aussi peut-être pour les séances des commissions, et que voir s'il y aura la possibilité aussi en lien avec l'ordre du jour qui sera proposé pour cette assemblée, s'il y aura possibilité à la fois de pouvoir discuter de certaines résolutions et aussi la question de tous les postes à pourvoir dans les différentes comités et commissions. Et ça, c'est aussi un aspect qui est très important. Et moi-même, j'ai souvent mis l'accent sur la question du comité des droits de l'homme des parlementaires, où il y a un poste à repouvoir, et c'est un des aspects qui sera important à discuter, évidemment, dans un premier temps dans ce groupe de travail, puis ensuite à discuter dans le comité exécutif. Voilà, je crois qu'il y a aussi le secrétaire. Enfin, je crois qu'il y a un aspect aussi qui est peut-être intéressant à relever, c'est que d'après les informations qu'on a du secrétariat général, eh bien, l'idée d'avoir une assemblée en ligne a l'air de recueillir une quasi-unanimité. Donc, ça, c'est déjà un point qui nous donne vraiment des directives pour la suite. Et certainement que le secrétaire général va aussi étudier en détail la question du calendrier et de voir effectivement comment est-ce qu'on peut régler, préparer cette assemblée et puis que les différents comités ou commissions puissent se réunir précédemment. Et il évaluait au fait que l'ensemble devrait porter sur 2 à 3 semaines. Mais ça, évidemment, que ce sont encore une analyse plus fine à faire et qui seront discutées dans les différentes instances. Voilà, je crois que c'est ce que je pouvais dire dans l'étape. Et puis, on se réjouit de voir la suite des travaux. Merci.
Yes. Mr. Duarte Pacheco asked for the floor. Will he be coming, or we can wait a second? I can give the floor to maybe. There you are.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Mr. Pacheco?
Fine. Just ready.
Yeah. Now we can see each other.
Arda, dear colleagues, thank you so much. Just in a few seconds, I wish to say three things. To explain to my colleagues from the 12 plus what I think about IPU, and also the position and how important it is to have the presidency from one of us, with the values of democracy, human rights, state of law, and so on, that join all of us in our group. First, about the strategy of IPU, it will be revisited, yes, and we will begin with meetings with young parliamentarians. Of course, all of us will have a word to say, but we decide, and I think, that the most important is to see what youth parliamentarians think about IPU and what should be the role of IPU in 2030, for instance. And so I will have meetings with the young parliamentarians to ask their ideas and ask their collaboration in this process. But the importance of participation in all this process of the 12 plus is something that we need to put in our agenda. Second, Venezuela, Myanmar, and Belarus. Just to show you three examples. Venezuela is one question that we needed to discuss because we have two letters in our table, one from Mr. Guaido and the former president of the assembly, and one from the new president, both saying that they are representing the parliament of Venezuela. And the status of IPU, especially study the legal procedure of the election, not the political issues. And by our statutes, it's not easy to defend that the former assembly should keep the place of representing Venezuela inside our organization. And when I saw, and I think that my colleagues and my friends in the executive committee, we saw that we have a majority there that will defend the new assembly as a legitimate representative of Venezuela. And so the only way not to have as a concrete decision of the EXCOM was to delay a decision and to postpone the decision. And by this way, IPU sent a signal to the Maduro's regime that we need to study a little bit more before accept the new assembly as a legitimate representative of their people. Because the majority in EXCOM will vote by the recognition of the new assembly. We don't have a majority there. We are four. We have the support, of course, of the members of GRULAC. There are more two votes, but the majority will vote by the recognition of the new assembly. And so it was, I think, other presidents from other geopolitical group decided last week that the new assembly is already recognized by the IPU as a legitimate representative of Venezuela. Someone from the 12 plus had a different idea, and it was possible to manage the meeting and to avoid a final decision. Also, about Myanmar. What is in Myanmar, we have a coup d'etat. If we have a coup d'etat, we need to defend our parliaments, our colleague parliamentarians. And I said to the Martin that I am available to go there as soon as possible, to put my boots on the ground and to say that I am there in our manifestations to defend our colleagues. And if I go to the jail 2 or 3 days, I don't mind. It can be useful to democracy in Myanmar. I am ready to do it. And finally, about Belarus. Very soon, the leader of the opposition, the candidate that maybe won, but was not recognized the presidential election, will visit Portugal. And I will receive there as president of IPU to defend our colleagues from the Belarus parliament that are on the jail as well, and to say that democracy is not respected in Belarus. I think we need to show it, not against anywhere, not against no one, but to defend the core values that join all of us inside our group. And believe me, I will put it always in front my decisions as chair of the 12 plus, as chair now of IPU. Thank you so much. And congratulations, Arda. You will have a great job.
Thank you very much. And you see that you missed a job because you still want to speak like the chair of the 12 plus group. I believe Mr. McQuinty, David, asked the floor. Yes, he has. And I'll give the floor to him now. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Arda. Good morning, colleagues from beautiful, cold, snowy Canada this morning. It's a delight to be here to join everyone. I just wanted to add a few comments, if I could, to add some context and maybe some flavor to the reports we've just heard from colleagues on the executive committee, Arda, if that's okay. I think our good friend Cecilia was being too modest in her recounting of the amount of time that together we have had to put into the executive committee since last summer, to be fair. And I wanted colleagues to know from throughout the 12 plus just how extensive the investment of time and work was. I would say that in terms of preparation and meeting times, Arda, for the executive committee, and our new president is fully aware of this, including the election process and so on, I think we probably, each of us, put in 80 to 100 hours of preparation and meeting time, which is a very, very good signal, I think. In my short time now, almost 2.5 years on the executive committee, it's a good sign that the executive committee is really functioning like an executive committee. And maybe a little bit under the good guidance of our new president, we'll refine what its responsibilities are. One of the key decisions taken, for example, led by the president, was that our future five-year strategy would be pretty much designed and ratified at the executive committee level, which is a very good use of the executive committee, I think, as a proxy group for all of our member parliaments. And I think will lend to, more credibility to the political document that a five-year strategy is. I think, for example, the president's wisdom in accepting the Canadian Executive Committee's suggestion that we reach out to engage young people first and foremost so they can help us figure out where to go with an organization, I think that was a very, very important decision that Duarte has taken for all of us, given that we have to be aware that we are trying to keep young people, young parliamentarians engaged, and of course, helping to build the institution going forward. So I wanted to just lend that, if I could, on this question of Venezuela. It is filled with technical requirements, with the statutes, what we can, what we cannot say. But then again, I just wanted to, if I could, share with colleagues, Arda, just how important that discussion was. And I, for one, as a member of the executive committee and a member of the 12 plus, would like to see that discussion about Venezuela spill over to the 179 member parliaments. We may not be able to make changes ultimately to the statute. I don't know. That'll be up for the president to help navigate. But I think exposing, I've always believed that the most powerful disinfectant is sunlight. And by exposing what has taken place in Venezuela amongst the to all of the member parliaments, I think that will go some distance in helping to have them internalize an understanding there, the particular regime there, that the world is watching, and that legislators are watching, and parliaments are watching, and don't accept what has taken place in the context of Venezuela. So I think keeping that dialogue alive inside the IPU is, I think, really very important. The question of the United States came up. I just wanted to add perhaps some flavor to that, given I work extremely closely with Washington on both the Canada-U.S. Committee and also as chair of Canada's National Security and Intelligence Committee. I work closely with my colleagues in the United States. It's going to take a concerted effort, Arda, through you, I think, and our 12-plus colleagues to reach out to the United States. The letter that was sent by the president is a great start. The letter that was sent by the executive committee, assigned by all members, including our good friend from China, asking the United States to rejoin the IPU is a good, positive first two steps, but it might require that the 12-plus membership do more to reach out with our own networks to the United States to try and get them to come back into the fold. I just thought I would table that with you, Arda, for your consideration. I think that might be a wonderful opportunity for us to work to collectively to bring the U.S. back. And then I also went back and looked at the Venezuelan debate, or the question of the, not the Venezuelan debate, but the statutory debate that took place in 2012 in Quebec City about how far the executive committee could or might want to go in pronouncing itself on the legitimacy of a parliament. And I suppose it was a decision that was steeped in wisdom at the time that, that no executive committee would try and expulse a member or ask a member to leave the IPU. That whole idea of trying to do so would be considered irreceivable by an executive committee. So that's a very big question that I think all of us are going to have to examine. After all, our slogan is for democracy for everyone. And I think that the great leadership that Duarte has brought already on democracy and human rights and on the rule of law, these are really important now for us as 12 plus members to continue to elevate and take to the executive committee and beyond. So I'm just very encouraged. I'm also very encouraged, at the end of your leadership, that we're actually going to be meeting now like an executive committee. That is probably, by my calculation, every month or 2 months. But I want you to be gentle now, because that's a lot of time for each of us. But very encouraging, colleagues, that we're seeing an executive committee, I think for the first time in several years now, function like an executive committee. We're having very honest, open debate and dialogue. When in the past, I think we sort of papered over some differences, and that's very encouraging. So I wanted to share that, Arda, for your for the members' consideration through you, and to suggest there might be a role for the 12 plus going forward on a few of these files. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. First of all, Cecilia, you asked the floor again, or yes, I'll give it to you then.
Thank you, Arda, and thank you, Laurence and David. And just send hello to the 12 pluses from Bladen, who is stuck in traffic, so we don't want him on this call. But I know you're going to let out the word now for questions and remarks, and I just want to say a few words then first from the subcommittee on finance. Without finances, we are no organization, so just a few words. As you know, the finances are very good, and we took a unanimous decision on the budget for this year. One part of that is visibility and increasing visibility and communication. And that is, of course, one of the focuses now for the Secretariat to work both on digital, but also start to focus, as Laurent said, on hybrid occasion further on this fall. We have also raised the budget on human rights, which comes very good in these discussions as we have it. And we have put some money aside for this strategy work for the organization for the coming years. We have also had a very good meeting with the pension fund, which I also chair, and make sure that there are a good pension there for the staffers that will need that in the future. So that was just a few last remarks, and then we are, of course, here for your remarks and questions. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks all of you for giving such an extensive report of all the good activities that have been done by XCOM. I would like to ask first, is there anybody who has a question to one of the XCOM members? And if so, please request to speak and tell me to whom you would want to pose that question. So I'll give you a few seconds to request the floor. Okay, I'll give the floor to Harriet Baldwin.
Thank you very much, Arda, and thank you to the executive as well for the very good summary. I just want to say how wholeheartedly the UK Parliament endorses this outreach to the US Congress. We've taken the initiative to write individually as a UK Parliament also to the Speaker of both houses, and then I was also able to raise it during the bilateral meeting that we had recently with the US, and we will be thinking about how we can amplify that. But I wholeheartedly endorse the suggestion that the 12 plus write as a group to re-engage the US with our organization.
Thank you. That's good to hear. Ms. Mulder, Agnes Mulder, I think you are the next on the list. Yes, you have the floor.
Hello. So nice to see you all. It's great to see that you're all right. At least it really looks like that. And thank you, Pacheco, for your enthusiasm for the IPU. And thank you also, Arda, for hosting this meeting. I really agree with the last speaker on the outreach to the US Congress. I think we should take the opportunity to endorse the suggestion to get them back in again. I think that's a really great idea. And I have a question on Venezuela, because I know it's a really difficult one, but I was wondering, what are the type of manners that we can suggest to really solve this problem? Because basically, I think it might be only the only way is the one paying the bill for the IPU, who is really the one who is in the game. So I was wondering what the suggestions are. So thank you very much, and I wish you all a pleasant afternoon. It's really great to see you all again. Bye.
Okay, so there's a question around Venezuela. So who would like to pick that question? Cecilia or Mr. Pacheco? If one of you would request the floor. Yes, Mr. Pacheco. Duarte.
Of course, by values, or of, if we share the values of the former assembly, and I think that the majority of European countries did not recognize the elections in Venezuela as free elections, and so the results are not recognized, and also the European Parliament took a decision not recognizing the new assembly as a legitimate representative of Venezuela. This is really what happened in our continent, may I say. But the statutes of IPU and the Secretariat prepared a document that was shared with all the members of the Executive Committee, saying that in Quebec, we decided, the Executive Committee and then the Governing Council in Quebec decided not to analyze, may I say, the process of the election of the new parliament, but respect the indication when a parliament is appointed as a representative of a country. And we know, if we talk about democracy, we had a lot of parliaments inside our organization that are special democracies, at least. And so I think if we apply the criterion of a democracy as we have in Canada, in European countries, in Australia, many parliaments will not be accepted inside our organization. And so the Secretariat, by the legality and by our statutes, proposed, they said, yes, we can take three decisions, not to accept any parliament, but this is against our statutes. We may recognize the former parliament as representative of Venezuela, but it will be against our statutes, or the new parliament as the representative of Venezuela, because this is what is the determination from our statutes. And so, as I understood, and I think my colleagues of the 12 plus will have the same feeling, the majority of members of the Executive Committee, our colleague from Zimbabwe, from China, from Uzbekistan, for instance, they are completely in favor of the recognition of the new assembly, and others will follow their position. And so, what to do? To accept the new parliament, Okay, it's done. We, for instance, Cecilia proposed a visit to see the legality of the elections in Venezuela, but also the majority express opinion that this is not usual in our institution. And so the majority is ready to accept the new parliament. The only thing that we try to have in our hands to avoid the recognition was, okay, but there are some doubts about the legality of the process, and we need more information about it. And we need to ask this kind of information, and we will appreciate in our future meeting all the information we will receive if the legality of the new parliament, of the process of the election, are respected in according with the constitution and the laws of Venezuela. But believe me, that I think it will be the decision, majority decision of the XCOM when we need to take it, because it is not possible to delay it and to postpone a decision forever.
Well, thank you. And if there are not any more questions, I would like to round up this point on the agenda. But not until I have said that I'm very happy to hear that the XCOM is functioning at its best at the moment, that there's a lot of activity going on. And I'm also very happy to see that the president of the IPU picked up back to the core business of our organization, enhancing the democracies. And of course, it's good to have that debate in the coming years or months, actually, on the strategy. And I think the fact that we are discussing the membership of countries like Venezuela, Myanmar, Belarus, and what the core of the democracy is because it has been neglected, I think, for years that we talk about this. So I'm very happy to see that we have those discussions now, and we will see where we end with them, but at least it's on the agenda. There are three points that I would like to take back. First of all, of course, the new strategy. Mr. Pacheco explained that there will be some tasks coming to the geopolitical groups, so I will await what task we will get, and if not, I will want to initiate in some of our own so we can have a full discussion or full participation on that new strategy. I would also like to see whether we can enforce the activities around the membership of the United States, and I will contact Mr. Pacheco on that to see how we can help as 12 plus to make sure that we can all be on the same page and get to the goal to get US back in the membership. And I'm also very happy to see that Mr. Pacheco did indeed, as Mr. McQuinty suggested, connected with the young parliamentarians for the future of the IPU. And if there's anything that we can do from that 12 plus, please let us know, Ms. Pacheco, so we can support you on that one too. So if there are no more questions and I don't see anybody asking for the floor, I would like to round up this agenda and then go back to the point number 4A, which is the vice presidency of the 12 plus. Again, this is not a decision-making meeting, but I would just like to see how we should go on this point for the next steering committee. According to our rules, which is Article 9 of the steering committee, Article 9, the steering committee should appoint by consensus a vice chair person among its members. So that's a vice chairperson coming from the steering group. Now, this is not an official position, and Portugal did not have a vice chair, but the Netherlands believe it's good to have one. And certainly in these COVID times, if some of us get ill, we need a replacement, and I always think it's good to have a backup. So I would like to hear your ideas about it, and I don't know if anybody has already an idea if they want to expressed their interest for the vice presidency, and I would like to hear that now. So please, whom can I give the floor to? Andries, Mr. Geoffrey from Belgium. The floor is yours.
Thank you, and good afternoon to everyone here in this room. I think that the function of a vice president could be very interesting if a vice president, like you said, is not an official function, but it's more like a supporting the presidency of this group 12 plus. And I think this is important because in these times where we have online meetings, where it's sometimes difficult to have bilateral meetings during the meeting, so that you have to prepare it before these bilateral meetings, at one hand. At the other hand, that I think that, for example, everything what is now or was in the past a physical meeting could be in the future maybe hybrid meetings. So I can fully understand that we in the future maybe or not only online meetings or in physical meetings, but can be let us say a combination of the two. And in that case, if you have to do it everything just alone with one country, with the administration of this country, I think that is quite difficult. I'm also, for example, vice chair of the Belgian Senate. And also there, I have a very good co-working with the president of the Senate. And you feel this is very interesting just to prepare some files, some documents, some dossiers, where you feel, okay, here we need some more work to do, like organizing it, how we have to do it, how we will have in contact with bilateral meetings, etc. I've been honest, I'm a candidate to be vice chair of ARDA. Let us say I'm not the man who is doing the big political speeches, but more working behind the curtains is more like my thing, organizing it and organizing it together with some people working in a team, because I think this is also important that you have a team where not everyone is a single person in the group, but that you can work with a team. And I think this is more my position, how I will do it when I could be vice chair of and helping, in that case, ARDA, not for my own, person, but only for the whole group, because I think it's very important for the group that we have a very strong, steering the whole group. So I'm candidate to be vice chair if the other people of this steering group agree. And my condition is certainly that I will more working on my organizing skills, certainly in this period of COVID-19, more than, let us say, big passionate speeches, etc. Like I said, I'm more rather the man works a lot behind the scenes in order to deliver. And I think this is very important in this period of COVID-19 that we can have a small team which can prepare everything, we can prepare all these meetings, etc. And of course, if we have ever in the time the possibility once again that we can do it physically, like not normally the steering group is invited by the president of the group plus, as a vice chair, we can also discuss if we can do it once in Brussels. It's not so far from the Netherlands, so that can also be a nice opportunity. We as Belgium team, we have also a lot of experience in that. Before, we had already two times been the chair, the presidency of the Group 12 Plus. So we know how it works, not only internally in the Group 12 Plus, but also in connection with, for example, and XCOM or with the General Assembly. So we have a lot of experience also. So that's the reason why I think it is important to have a vice president. And also, secondly, I am a candidate to be the vice president. Thank you.
So thank you very much. I do understand that you are presenting yourself as a possible vice president for the steering committee. Anybody else who would like to show his interest for the position? Anybody else on the procedure, on possible other candidates? Please take the floor. Okay. Okay, I don't think anybody's taking the floor at the moment. So if no other candidate shows up, I suggest that we present Mr. Andries at the next steering committee as a possible vice president. Again, like I said, we're not here to take decisions. This is an informal steering committee. So, but if there's only one candidate, it's, I think the outcome is clear. Okay. The new members of the steering committee, if agreed on, this is something I would also like your ideas about. Actually, there's no rule in how big the steering committee should be, only that it is it has the former two former chairs. That is in the rules, in our statutes, and for the rest, it's up to the president to combine the steering committee. Now, there was under the Belgian presidency a small and fixed group from around 8 to 10 persons that were invited. Under the Portuguese chairmanship, it was a large group invited, sometimes even up to 35. And today, I've decided to invite you as members as having a position in the four standing committees of the IPU Assembly currently, including the former 12-plus chairs, Mr. Pacheco and Belgium, and including the two founding members countries of the IPU, France and the UK. Now, again, like I said, it's not straightforward the way we do it. We've also discussed should we have the bureau members here, but then you get a bigger group. And my intention would be to keep it as it is at this point, but to have side events and invite other members of the 12-plus on these side events or side discussions. For instance, we just said, we could have a working group on getting the US back into the 12-plus and how to do that. And I could invite members on that topic. We could have a working group or a discussion on Venezuela, and I could invite members or anybody who would be interested to join on that topic. I think that gives us a way to be more outreaching to the other members and get better connection with many members and keep the steering committee a small and lean and mean group. But again, that is my intention. I'd love to hear your views on that. Maybe somebody can speak from former experiences. So please, I'd like to hear your ideas. Take the floor. Ms. Baldwin, Harriet. You're muted. You have to turn on your mic, yes.
I thought I had. No, I just wanted to welcome this suggestion, both of having a vice chair to help you out, but also welcome the acknowledgement of the UK's position on the steering committee. And I certainly think that you are well within your discretion to be able to set up subgroups should you wish. Yeah, so supportive of that.
Thank you. Ms. Whittaker, Cecilia, you ask the floor.
Thank you for letting me speak. I am in that, I think we are in that time of the process of the IPU that we should include as many as possible. And especially now when we're working digital-wise, it is very easy for a member country to connect and to be involved. I see no reason why the group should be small. I would like to emphasize the importance of including people. And looking now at the processes within the organization, I think, especially for instance, some of the bureau members and thinking about the people working with the human rights issue, for one instance, would be very interesting for many of us to have a short brief and involvement of members. We are 47 member countries, and if we in these prep meetings could be more, I encourage that. And I think, as the new president Duarte said, working as a team also means inclusiveness. So I am in favor of that. So more openness and more transparency, more information to more people. And now when we work in digital, I mean, it's usually no problem of connecting people. So that is my suggestion.
Thank you very much. Mr. McQuinty.
Thank you, Arda. I agree with Cecilia. I think this is a time for engaging the members of the 12 Plus more directly and to allow members to self-select whether they'd like to participate or not because of these digital platforms, which I believe will be with us for several more years. It may be that we switch to a hybrid, more hybrid, ongoing hybrid situation, but I think we're going to be relying on this. I think it would be very useful for a clerk or even a member or a combination from all 47 member parliaments to know what is going on more immediately, to be able to track and to contribute. So I don't know if that helps you, Arda, in your thinking around what's best for you to help you as the president or chair of the group. But I think more is better in this case. I really do think it's an opportunity for the 12 plus 47 member parliaments to come together and build more momentum. We just saw the case, the difficult challenge of what to do with a parliament like the one from Venezuela. And we heard our president say that if this were put to a vote right now at the executive committee, it might be difficult. But, you know, that's the kind of momentum. If we had 47 member parliaments engaged in tracking and understanding more immediately, I think that would really fire up the 12 plus as a cluster of parliaments that could exercise quite an influence for good in the IPU.
Thank you. Mrs. Philman. Yes, you have the floor.
Oui, je vous remercie. Je crois intervenir assez brièvement parce que je suis d'accord avec l'idée de pouvoir organiser des groupes de travail dans le sens où c'est vrai que l'idée de plus grande inclusion, comme le faisaient remarquer Cecilia et David, c'est tout à fait bénéfique, je pense. Même si je suis une membre assez récente de l'UIP, je m'aperçois effectivement que on commence à reprendre de vrais débats politiques et la question du Venezuela est une question sensible, délicate, mais qui permet d'envisager les questions sous différents angles avec évidemment les controverses potentielles. Mais je pense en effet que l'idée d'avoir des groupes de travail, c'est important. La seule question, c'est qu'une fois qu'on a des groupes de travail qui soient le plus inclusifs possible, donc le plus large possible, il faut aussi qu'il y ait un travail de coordination, et ça, c'est évidemment, ça incombe plutôt à la présidence. Et du coup, l'idée d'avoir une vice-présidente pour soutenir Arda serait une bonne chose, parce qu'il ne faut pas seulement que les groupes travaillent un peu dans leur coin, mais il faut qu'ils puissent alimenter les discussions du comité exécutif, et ça, ça demande aussi un travail de coordination et de participation supplémentaire. Donc, oui, pour ça, mais il faut se rendre compte que ça demande plus d'implication et aussi plus de travail. Mais je pense qu'à la fin, l'UIP sera gagnante. Merci.
Thank you. Ms. Mulder, Agnes from the Netherlands.
Hello. Maybe to make it very clear, I thought you were proposing for the steering committee, working groups, and then also our regular meetings as the whole of the 12 plus group. Maybe you can elaborate a bit more on that, because I think the more the merrier, from the Netherlands, I am speaking. So I don't mind as many people as possible, but I think there's a difference between the different kind of meetings. So, and maybe you can elaborate a bit on that. Thank you.
Yes. So to make that clear, of course, we have the 12 plus meetings. We have them now in the before the assembly, And listening to you, I think, but I really want to take in all the advice and talk to Femi about what we could do. But my personal feeling is that at the formal 12 plus meetings, which we have in advance of the assembly, many people are not very well informed of all the things that are going on. And like some of you have mentioned, I would like to make sure that more people are involved with the processes that are happening at IPU. And I do believe that working groups could enhance that process better than having a bigger steering committee. Because if we make the steering committee a way too big and formal body, then you'll get problems like what's on the agenda now, that it's very hard for us to suggest changes in the rules and procedures. So the steering committee should be enforcing us together with this group to make sure that 12 plus operates at its maximum, at its best. And I think, of course, that we should have more inclusion. But I've listened to your advice. I'd like to take that back and suggest talk to Femi about it, and I'll come back with a proposal, of course, for the formal steering committee. So if nobody wants to take the floor on the subject, then I thank you for all your input. And we'll go back to the rules of procedure of the 12 plus. Okay, so there are a couple of things I would like to reflect on. First of all, during the last session in Belgrade, the 12 plus group voted an amendment proposed by the steering committee in Lisbon. The name, aim, and membership of rules and procedure. The 12 plus group, hereafter mentioned as the group, is a coordinated body which brings together national groups within the Interparliamentary Union whose parliaments are based on multi-party democracies and other democratic principles as enshrined in the European Convention of Human Rights. The membership of the group shall include those who were members as of the adoption of these rules, as well as other national groups who apply for membership and are members of the Council of Europe. In exceptional circumstances, a national group may be admitted on a temporary basis as a full member of the group. If a member breaches the, and this is the change that was voted on, if a member breaches the above principles, the steering committee or a group of at least 5 members may submit a motion, and the group may decide by 2/3 majority of the votes cast to suspend Parliament's membership in the 12 plus group. And to remind you, that discussion was because we felt that some of our current members were not fully living up to our principles. So the group adopted this amendment, but Rafsa from Turkey raised the question of procedure, and the chair therefore concluded to submit the amendment again in the first meeting of the 12 plus group in the next General Assembly of IPU. Secondly, we found that the last update of these rules and procedures has been made in 2016, so that's already 5 years ago. And thirdly, like just discussed, we could see maybe a revision of Article 8 of the about the steering committee. And my question would be, what is your general feeling about this? Would you think that we need to revise all of these statutes, or could we just go on with this sole amendment to the statutes for the next assembly? Anybody who wants to speak on that? So let me ask, is there anybody who thinks we need to revise all of the rules? And if nobody takes the floor, that you do not want to change the rules of procedure. And then my proposal will be to put the vote up again on the amendment as I just spoke about. Okay, so we will put it on the agenda for the 12 plus group in May. Okay, then we move on to agenda point 6. 12 plus activities being held and upcoming. From our side, we would like to plant a steering committee 2 weeks prior to the IPU assembly of May. And a 12-plus group meeting as well. However, so far we are awaiting the planning for the standing committees of the 12 of the IPU, which will take place during 3 weeks before the IPU assembly, and that means that we do not have enough information yet to plan it. So as soon as we have more information, we will inform you as well. Well, like I just said, my idea would be to organize theme discussions or working groups. I will discuss this with Femi and bring it back to you at the next steering committee, unless somebody wants to add something. Or if you have any suggestions, you could always email Femi if you come up after the meeting with something. Okay, maybe somebody else wants to share something about 12-plus activities that have been taking place the last month, from maybe from the standing committees or any other business. Please take the floor if you would like to inform us on that. Yes. Ms. Baldwin, Harriet.
Thank you very, very much. Also, I just wanted to highlight, in addition to the point I made earlier about engaging the US, was the fact that in our group, we're very focused on the COP26, which is going to be, we hope, happening predominantly in person in Glasgow in November. As you know, there's a bit of an overlap in terms of the IPU's own meetings, but nevertheless, we are putting a focus on that in all of our programming. So we've had a very good session with the UK's chief negotiator, which was very widely attended in our parliament. We've also included elements of this in all of the bilaterals that we're holding virtually. And we are also pressing the president of COP26 to be as inclusive as possible with parliamentarians, to make sure that there is a prominent role for parliamentarians at the events. And the UK Parliament will also be hosting, we hope, in person, an event at Glasgow, to which we will invite all representatives from visiting delegations. So I just wanted to insert that theme in terms of the COP26 and the UK hosting that into our discussions today.
Thank you. I think it's a very important topic. Just the thought crossed my mind that Greta Thunberg doesn't have to go very far by boat this time. She can just cross the channel. But I think it's a very important subject, and I'd like to see how we can participate in one way, or feed or get connection maybe with the standing committee. And maybe Ms. Mulder would like to speak about that. But first of all, Mr. Jeffrey Andries from Belgium. Oh, and sorry, we kicked you out. That was not that just happened by mistake. So, if you please would request the floor again. Yes. Oh, now Agnes. Yeah, go. Oh, no, Andries. Andries is coming. Yes.
Yeah. The remark of Harriet is a very good one, because when you look to the calendar, and the first 2 weeks of November, we have the COP26 in Glasgow. And if I'm not wrong, I thought that Rwanda starts on the 6th November. So it's really in the middle of the COP26 in Glasgow. So in fact, let us say at the same time, nearly. Certainly when we have physically this General Assembly, this will be Rwanda, and just say, okay, I go up and back to Glasgow. That's not easy. And in the last time in Madrid, and then there before, I remember also in Poland, we had a strong, let us say, representation from the IPU, from all the groups together, where we have some seminars, where we have also some debates. We have also tried to make a resolution about this COP24 and 25. So I think when we want to do now the same thing, and it's not only starting from our group, but also with the other groups, then you have really an agenda issue, because the two assemblies are at the same moment. So I don't know if they are aware about that and what is the reason why Rwanda has chosen this data, not, for example, some weeks after or some weeks before.
Okay, thank you for that remark. Ms. Mulder, Agnes?
Yes, thank you very much. I'm a rapporteur of the Dutch Parliament on the climate issues, and we had a meeting at the last COP in Madrid with parliamentarians from the whole of the European Union. So we organized that, and there was also somebody from British Parliament, and she was really keen on knowing how we did this, and I'm very willing to help in whatever respect I can. We have some experience with that now, and I always try to attend the IPU meetings as well when it's at the COP, but sometimes it's difficult because of the time management. Which week are you at a certain spot, and can you attend or not? So, but if we choose more hybrid kind of forms, I think it's really nice that more people probably are willing to attend the meetings. And I would like to discuss this also with my British colleague. So I'll call her. Thank you.
Mr. Spengelman, Sven, from Canada, you have the floor. It's almost coming down. Please don't forget to unmute your mic. Yes, you have to mute.
I've done it. I've unmuted the mic and the camera. Good morning, Madam Chair. And first of all, congratulations on your new role, and thank you for your leadership. I wanted to come in under other business on Glasgow, but I'm glad it was raised now. I want to just strongly echo the comments of colleagues on how important this particular COP is, how important climate change is, how important climate action is. And I think there's really a confluence of a number of opportunities, not the least of which is the fact that this particular Secretary General of the United Nations is really throwing his entire political weight behind the climate agenda. And I think there's an excellent synergy, partly because of the fact that Portugal holds the presidency of the IPU, but also because of what Mr. Pacheco said earlier, the need to engage young parliamentarians. This is the fundamental substance as we come out of COVID and want to rebuild climate action, net zero 2050, the Sustainable Development Goals 2030. This is the moment for the IPU really to stand up and to say, we are dialed into this and we see an opportunity, not only because of Glasgow. I mean, Glasgow is incredibly important, and I think the overlap between our meeting in the fall and the Glasgow timing is something that we need to think carefully about. But going forward, to make sure that we harness the potential role of parliamentarians in becoming climate champions, also at the community level, to make sure that when it comes to climate action and different ways of achieving reduced greenhouse gases, the parliamentarians can play a fundamental ongoing role. So we've got our subcommittee on sustainable development, but I think in a number of other ways, this is a moment for the IPU to stand up, to become more recognized as a global force, to become visible to the publics of our member states, and to be engaged on climate. So maybe a big think opportunity for us within the 12 plus caucus, because we have so many climate leaders among our members of this particular caucus, and to really see how we can harness this opportunity, not only for November, but going forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, thank you. So if I hear all of you, I think this would be actually an excellent topic to have this kind of working group on. So I would want to suggest that for here and now. Ms. Mulder already proposed to call with her colleague and in the UK, Ms. Welborn, but I think it would be good to get more people on board and prepare COP21 and see what we can do as IPU, or at least a 12 plus in the IPU. And I will pick the subject up with Mr. Pacheco as a president. So I'll come back to you, Duarte, on the subject to see what we can do as whole of as an IPU. And we need to solve the problem of the dates one way or the other. And again, digital is a very good way to meet as well, as we have noticed the last couple of weeks. So if you agree all of that, I will pick this as our first one of the first topics on working groups. I agree with you there that this is a very important topic. Any other things you would like to share as activities? I see somebody requesting. Yes, that is Ms. Baldwin. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Ada, for including me under any other business as well. And this is outside the British group in terms of IPU work, but is incredibly important, a real passion of mine, that the UK is working with Kenya this year to host the replenishment of the Global Partnership for Education. The date is going to be in July. This year, I've co-founded with a Kenyan senator something called the International Parliamentary Network for Education that's campaigning for political leadership to help us achieve Sustainable Development Goal 4. As you know, so many children have been missing school all around the world thanks to this crisis, and it's incredibly important that we focus on how to help the world catch up on education. And so I just wanted to let everyone know that if they are keen to become part of the International Parliamentary Network for Education, ipned.org, they can have a look at the website or contact me directly. If any of your parliamentarians have a particular passion in this area, I'm looking for people to get really involved in this network, which, as I emphasize, is separate from the work that I do as chair of the BGIPU. But I have engaged with the Secretary General about potentially bringing the network once it's fully established in terms of observer status. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention. We'll leave the address and information in a minute as well, so anybody who is interested can look it up there. But it's ipnet.org, I believe. Okay, any other business that you want to discuss? Anybody who wants to request the floor at this point, at the end of the meeting? Nobody? So then we have come to the end of our meeting, and thank you very much for your participation. And it was very good to see all of you, and I believe this is a very nice way to have a little kickoff of the presidency of the 12 Plus. I'd like to also thank Carlos and Rui, who are here to translate. Thank you for helping us out here. And I hope to see you soon, or once we have the date set. And in the meanwhile, stay negative this time. Thank you.